Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Until the Lord releases me on Wednesday nights, I'm just going to be talking with some things that, deal with the subject of divine healing. And if we're done in a week, two, couple more weeks or whatever, then we're just done, but we're just going to go. But tonight, I want to talk to you, and you'll see in a little bit how this is connected with your healing. But I'm going to talk to you about the dangers of unforgiveness. The dangers that are there, I just observation over the years just seen that people that, don't forgive or always are upset about somebody or in bitterness of the past or, usually have an issue with somebody, I usually notice those people have a hard time being healed. It just does something. We've just watched that, Phyllis and I, over the years, that if you can get them out of that, then many times you can get them healed. So, we're just going to talk about that. And a lot of other things come along with it too, bad things. And so we're going to talk about the dangers of that. You know what I'm saying? There's dangers in it, amen? Because, you're not going to live this life without somebody doing you wrong. That's just going to happen. We're not believing for it. We're not advertising for it. But how many know what happens whether you're believing for it or not? Amen. I mean, you're not going to go through your life and even through your marriage without having, some issues sometimes, disagreements and so forth, or at work or wherever, it's just going to happen. Amen. We don't want to be the cause of it, but, sometimes things happen, So we have to learn to let it go and just move on. Amen. And some people carry things for years that you just got to let it go, because things are going to happen. Amen. I heard a story. I don't know where this is true or not, but this guy said, him and his wife had been married for 20 years. And he was telling his friend, he said, in 20 years, we've only had one disagreement. And his friend said, well, that's not possible. He said, yeah, I'm telling the truth. We've only had one disagreement in 20 years. And his friend said, there's no way. It's just not possible. He said, how in the world did that happen? Well, he said, I'll tell you how that happened. He said, on our honeymoon, we went horseback riding. He said, I got on my horse, she got on her horse, and my horse took off, and hers wouldn't go. So she pulled out a whip and hit it really hard, and it took off running, and she said, that's one. He said, we went a little further, and her horse stopped again and wouldn't go. So she grabbed that whip again. He said, she walloped that horse really good. It took off running. She said, that's two. He said, we went a little further, and sure enough, her horse quit again. He said, she got in her purse, pulled out a handgun, and shot the horse and killed it. She said, that's three. He said, I was incredulous. He said, I looked at her and said, well, honey, you can't just kill an animal and shoot an animal like that. He said, she looked at me and said, that's one. He said, since that day, I've never started a thing. Well, have you know, life isn't really like that. You're going to have issues. And so we have to learn to forgive. And so we're going to help you with that tonight. Amen? Amen. All right. Matthew 18. Go with me. Verse 21. Peter came to him talking to Jesus. And he said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times. I'm sure Peter thought, man, that's big, big stuff there. Seven times. Peter didn't seem like the forgiving type. He's the one that cut Malchus's ear off, the high priest's servant's ear off. The Lord Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Now, I'm not the sharpest person on math, but that comes out to 490 the way I multiply it. I mean, somebody offends you 490 times in one day, they got an issue. If your friend offends you 490 times, I got a word for you. Get a new one. But Jesus, and Jesus is just simply saying unlimited. How many are glad that he said that? Because if that's what we're supposed to do, that's what he'll do. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, and I notice this. He's making a point here, Jesus. He says, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. Now that's a huge amount. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children, and all that he had in payment to be made. Of course, in those days, you know, they would sell you into slavery and get the money they could get out of you. That's what that was part of. You know, like if you didn't pay your debts, they repossessed your kids. Hallelujah. That sounds better to me. But anyway, of course, they'll bring them back. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, they would sell you into slavery. Now, verse 26, and the servant fell down and worshiped him. And the servant therefore fell down and worshiped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me and I'll pay you all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, loosed him the debt, and forgave him the debt. Notice verse 28. But the same servant, everybody say the same servant.
Same servant.
The same servant that just got forgiven a big debt went out, found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 pence. Now, that's just a very small, minute amount compared to what he owed. And he laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. And his fellow servants fell down at his feet and besought his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not. But he went and cast him into the prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and they came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, he said unto him, O wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you desired me to. Should you not also, remember this is Jesus a teaching parable here. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, even as I had pity on you? So Jesus is simply saying, he's making a parable here. He's about forgiveness. He's teaching his disciples. And Peter said, should I forgive? How many times should I forgive my brother? 7 times. Jesus said, no, 7 times 70. 490. And so he's making a parable. He's speaking a parable here. And he says, in other words, he's teaching. What he's teaching is just like you've been forgiven, you ought to have compassion and forgive other people. And his Lord, notice this. This is really kind of scary right here. How many believe the Bible?
Yes.
Okay. And his Lord was wroth or angry and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Verse 35. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. That puts a fear of God in me. That if God's saying, this is Jesus talking, you know, and I know, I know there's some preachers that say that, you know, we don't live by the words of Jesus. If you want to follow that, go ahead. But I certainly wouldn't want to stand before Jesus one day and tell him I didn't live by your words because Preacher Doodad said I didn't have to. Actually, Jesus is my Lord. Not some preacher on the internet or on TV telling me I don't have to live by the words of Jesus any longer. I mean, you can believe that if you want, but I'm not going to believe that. I'm going to live like Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So if Jesus said that, you know, my Father will do the same thing to you that this Lord did to his servant, I believe it. I believe it. Now, what are the tormentors today? Well, you know, that doesn't mean, you know, some unruly kids are going to move in next door. It means, I think it means demonic activity will be released in your life. Amen. And, you know, I saw some, I know you're not, that's not nothing to shout about or get happy about, but I believe what Jesus said right here. And I see that. See, I see that in people's lives when they won't let go of things that all of a sudden they start getting tormented. You know, someone one time, I don't know who originally said, you know, unforgiveness is like drinking poison and hoping it hurts the other person. It's not going to hurt you. And so we have to learn to let go of things, right? You know, all of us have been done wrong. If you haven't, you haven't been alive long. I mean, the first thing, I don't know if they still do this or not, it's probably you get sued over it now, but when I was a kid, when I was born, they slapped me. I mean, that was you get offended right off the bat. Like, who do you think you are? You can tell me you don't remember that? All right. But that's what I hear. I don't know. You know, do they still do that? I don't know. And wow. And I probably get sued today over that, you know. But anyway, they did a lot of things when I was a kid that, you know, you can't do today, you know. But my point is this, that this man was turned over to the tormentors. He was put in prison. And so my point is this, the same thing happens in our life when we refuse to let people go that did us wrong. Amen. Now, here's another thing that really scares the fire out of me, if you let me say it that way, is this. He said that, remember, this guy we're talking about, he came to his Lord and he said, he had this great massive debt and he said, give me time and I'll pay every bit of it. His Lord had compassion on him and forgave him the entire thing, didn't he? But now we see here, because he wouldn't turn around and likewise forgive, his Lord said, all right, you're going to go to the tormentors till you pay back that debt. In other words, what he had been forgiven of got recalled. Now, if this carries true, I don't want any part of that, because I've got a lot I've been forgiven of. I don't want it recalled. I'm not making a new doctrine. You don't have to believe this, but I'm just reading this parable for what it says. Jesus said, so likewise, my Father will do unto you if you don't forgive everybody from their, you know, the trespasses against you. Amen. Amen. Now, let me say something about forgiveness, okay, just so we're clear on this. Forgiveness, I can forgive you, but it doesn't mean we're right. Now, what do you mean by that? Well, you know, I would tell any woman that's in an abusive marriage, you know, getting beat up on every day, get out of it. Forgive the man, but don't stay there. Forgiveness doesn't mean you're going to stay there and get beat up. Your dog bites me, I might forgive it, but I'm not going to give it another chance. Are you with me? You know, when I was a kid, me and my cousin, we were out in this pasture. We were out, we actually weren't in the pasture yet. We were outside of it, and He dared me to get in it. There's a mean bull in there. And so I thought, yeah, what could happen? I found out what can happen. He can get really mad. And he came after me. And you would not believe how fast a kid can run. I just barely beat him to the other side. You know, well, I learned something about that. I mean, you know, I can forgive that old bull for chasing me, but I'm not getting back in there. I was kind of mean when I was a kid. I grew out of it, you know. You know, the one time I was over at my cousin's in his neighborhood, and I was walking through this yard, and they had a dog, and he was sleeping inside a 55-gallon drum turned over. That was his doghouse. You know, we improvised in our days. We didn't have everything, you know. So I decided I'd kick the side of it and ring his bell, you know. So I kicked the side of it. And he was not happy. He didn't even stop to see who did it. He just came right out after me. I ran fast. But I learned some lessons, you know. You know, you understand what I'm talking about. Forgiveness doesn't mean we're okay, we're buddies now. It just means I've dropped the charges. I'm not pursuing you. Now, hopefully it goes to the point we're restored, right? But I'm dropping the charges. I'm not pursuing you. I'm not going after you. I'm not going to arrest you. I don't want you in prison. I don't want you tormented. I've let it go. It's gone. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. And so God is big on forgiveness. I mean, you read His Bible, He's big on it. And I'm glad He is, because He's the biggest forgiver there is. He forgives all of our iniquities. Hallelujah. But the way I think this ties in with healing is like what I said, you know. I mean, I've seen a lot of people over the years that I just, you know, if you diagnose their case, their problem is the reason they're always sick all the time and have maybe die young is because they just simply won't let go of things. They just won't forgive people. they've carrying hurts from way back and years back and so forth. And, you know, Paul was talking about how the church at Corinth was treating one another in 1 Corinthians 11. He said, because you're not rightly discerning and discerning the Lord's body and treating the body of Christ, right? He said, many of you are sick, many of you are weak, and many of you are dead. That always goes over real big in faith churches, but it is in the Bible, right? How many know we can't be favorite word people? I don't want to hear about that part, Pastor. That scares me. Well, we need a little fear of God in us for some things, right? Amen. And so, you know, he's telling that church, the church at Corinth, he said, this is the reason why some of you are dead already, why some of you are sick, some of you are weak, because the way you're treating one another, you're not treating one another right. There's strife and division and so forth. And, you know, there was a book out years ago, and it was called Hung by the Tongue. A lot of people are hung by their tongue. Amen. Anybody remember that book, Hung by the Tongue? It's an old one. Amen. Now, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to look at these some scriptures tonight, and then I'm going to end this by just sharing with you four steps to help you walk in forgiveness, because it's not always easy. And sometimes it's a process, and we're going to help you get through that process if you need to. I'm not saying anybody needs to tonight, but it's certainly good to have these things working inside of you and this knowledge, because you're going to need it. Hallelujah. You're going to need it. Amen. You're going to need the knowledge of it. You know what I'm saying? You know, some things you learn in school, you don't need it necessarily, but some things you're going to need. I went to algebra class and teach as a math teacher, and so no offense here, brother, but I went to algebra class, and I thought, if I can ever get out of this, I'm done with it. You know, and I don't know. It just didn't make sense to me why. I don't remember how it went, but B times 4 equals C. How in that? You don't mix alphabet and letter and numbers together. These people are confused. But you know what? There are people that have to know that, and they use it, and they need it. You know, calculus and so forth. I remember college algebra class, the first night of college algebra, about the only thing I got was good evening. I thought, well, what's the rest of this supposed to be? We talking some kind of foreign language here? I don't know. You know, he's just taking, I mean, I'm telling you, because, you know, I was 5 years removed from school and a lot of drugs. And I'm sitting in there with these kids that just got out of school, and they took math. I hadn't had math since the 10th grade. After 10th grade, where I was at, you didn't have to take any kind of math after 10th grade. And I thought, well, I've had my fill of it. And so I already know how to count. I got fingers and toes if I need some help. Don't you laugh. You can't do it without a calculator. Let me know, if you don't use it, you lose it, right? You know what I'm saying? I mean, I used to know my multiplication tables all the way up to the 12s. And now somebody says, well, what's, you know, 8 times 9? Where's my calculator? I'm older than some of y'all. Amen. It's been a while. But, you know, God, this information I'm giving you tonight, if you don't need it tonight, there'll come a time you're going to need it. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, go there. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and let's read verse 10 and 11. Paul says, to whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. If I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it for your sakes, forgave I it in the person of the presence of Christ. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. So Paul said that if we don't forgive, Satan gets an advantage of us. He gets the advantage. And I just personally believe this, that a lot of people, not a lot, but some people, you know, won't receive their healing until they let go of something. You know what I'm saying? See, sometimes, you know, there's things that's blocking our healing. We may teach on that later on, just things that can block your healing. But of course, you know this tonight, this is a healing blocker, you know. And some things can happen. You know, it was John G. Lake one time was in praying for people. He had people who would come to his, he almost has almost like a doctor's office type thing, where people would come and get prayer. You know, instead of medicine, they got prayer. And he was praying. Actually, I think this was in the morning, I believe he was praying for this guy. And he said, what is it about? He said, I keep getting $5,000. You know anything about that, you know? And yeah, the guy had, you know, he had through, I won't go through it all, but through some of his dealings, he had actually $5,000 that he had lifted that didn't belong to him. And so when Lake asked him, what's this I keep getting about $5,000? And the guy told him what happened. He said, okay. He said, well, here's what you're going to do. He said, now, he said, you go write a check and you send that off to that person for $5,000 and you come back and I'll pray for you. You know, that guy did it. Most people wouldn't do it. That guy went and did it. He came back and got healed. Amen. See, that was blocking something, wasn't it? See, I've seen that happen where it's blocking, you know. It's not that God doesn't want to heal. It's like there's things that are blocking it. There's, you know, it's blocking God's power. Amen. Things can happen, you know. You know, just like with electricity, there's things that can block it, can get it, you know, thrown off. You know, I've got those, what do they call them, GFI or something like that, breakers, something like that. Anybody know? What are they called? GFCI breakers, you know, I got those in my house. And, you know, so I got an outlet out back, you know, and every once in a while it's on the back porch, and every once in a while water gets on that thing. And if it does, it trips the whole circuit there. I mean, bam, it goes off. Phyllis came in the other day. She was out there at the garden hose spraying water around and putting water in the fountain and all. And she said the fountain quit working. So, you know, so Mr. Fix-It goes in, kicks in the gear, you know, and I go out there. And I push the button on the breaker, and it stays on just for a few seconds and pops. And I realize, you know, we got a problem here. Some way or another, whether she did it, she may not have done it. She said she didn't do it. But some way or another, water got up just a little bit, got up in that outlet, and that outlet said, I'm not working. See, it blocked the power. It blocks the power. You know, you wire things wrong. You know, it doesn't mean the power company's got a problem. Are you with me now? You know, just because you hooked your ceiling fan on up and it won't work, don't call the power company and say, power's not working in this one ceiling box here. You need to shoot it over here. I mean, that's not the problem. The problem is you. You didn't wire it right. Are you with me? You know, I was trying to hook a ceiling fan up, you know, and it was like a four switch that went to it. Two switches went to it. Two switches. So you got to wire it up just right. It doesn't wire like a normal one. You know, well, I didn't know how to do it, you know. I just, you know, wrapped them up and it wouldn't come on, you know. Well, I mean, I wasn't getting mad at Vectren. See, a lot of people get mad at the source. God's the source, but he's not the problem. You know, I finally had to do a little investigating and found, okay, now the blue wire doesn't go where I've got the blue wire at. So I need to stick the blue wire over here. And after I got it wired right, then both those switches on the wall operated that. One operated the light, one operated the fan speed. So I got it going. Hallelujah. But the problem was there was something blocking it. Amen. Amen. So you have to understand there's things that can block God's blessing in your life, his healing in your life. And one of the things is if we just won't let go of things. We just won't forgive people, then tormentors get a hold of our life. And Satan gets an advantage of us. And when he gets an advantage, you don't want him having the advantage because there's no mercy in him at all. Are you with me? You know, some of these people today, you know, that worship the devil, I don't know what they're thinking, but I already hung out with him. I know what he's like. I know what he'll do to you. He'll kill you. He'll steal from you. He'll destroy you. See, oh, man, he'll bless you. He'll give you prosperity. He'll give you stuff to ruin you. That's what he'll do. Amen. Now, all right, let's go. Let's go to Mark chapter 11. Let's look at this. Mark chapter 11. And we're going to read some scriptures here. Mark the 11th chapter. So we don't want to block the power. We don't want to block the power. Mark 11. Go with me. Let's just read a few verses here. Let's go to verse 22. Jesus, in Mark 11, 22, Jesus answering, said to them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he says shall come to pass, he'll have whatever he says. Isn't that good news? Yes. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. That's really good stuff right there. But no, he doesn't stop, though. He says, and when you stand praying. See, when you stand praying, believing you receive. When you stand praying, when you're getting ready to pray and believe you receive. When you get ready to use your faith, Jesus said, when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught or anything against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive men, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive you your trespasses. So that says to me, I don't know how you read that, but that says to me, Jesus said, he told me how to operate in faith, how to have faith in God, how to speak to the mountain, and then how to pray. And then he said, when you're doing this, if you've got anything against anybody, forgive them. Because your Father won't forgive you if you don't, which tells me that stops the power. That's what I get out of that. In other words, the power is going to be stopped. Well, you know, I don't know about you. I need the power. You know, talk about grieving the Holy Spirit. See, He's the power source. So the power gets stopped. And if the power gets stopped, then we're in trouble. Looks to me like what Jesus was saying was unforgiveness will stop the power of faith and stop your prayer life. Now, can our prayer life be hindered? What's Peter say? He said, husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge. Now, let's just be fair about it, men. How about it? Before he says that, he tells women how to treat their husbands and love their husbands and bless their husbands and give their husbands respect and everything they want and need. Then he says, okay, I had a little of that. Then he says, are you taking notes, James? Then he says, likewise, all right? Now, you have to read it sometimes, 1 Peter chapter. He says, likewise, you husbands. He tells the women how to respect, the wives to respect the husbands, you know, like Sarah. Some of y'all are looking at me like this is a fairy tale. I didn't make this. This is in 1 Peter 3. He says, you know, it's like Sarah, you know, which respected Abraham and called him Lord. And so then he goes and says, likewise, you husbands, you dwell with them according to honor. You dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Well, obviously our prayers can be hindered. This is one of the things that hinders prayer. Now, you know, Phyllis and I we've got a good marriage. We haven't had arguments or anything like that hardly ever. But you know, there's been occasions where, you know, she messed up and I had to forgive her. And I know James knows what I'm talking about. It's happened with him a time or two with Mona. And so so anyway, you know, or let's just be fair, maybe I did something, you know. Now, maybe the rare occasion that, you know, I was a guilty party, I messed up, you know, and all. I think why marriage gets sweeter. One of the reasons why marriage gets sweeter as you get older, it should, is you just learn to keep your mouth shut and don't say everything on your mind. And that's what she does. And I do the same thing, and everything works out good. Amen? Hallelujah. But now I was after something. Now, on those... on those rare occasions where we've had our issues, you know what? I can't just go in there and lift my hands and say, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah, glory to God, and just pray. I got to go get it fixed. Because those scriptures, they mean something to me. When Jesus said, when you stand praying, forgive. It means something to me. It means I got to go get this fixed. Amen. Now, you know, your flesh doesn't always want to do that. But you got to, you know, you got to do what you got to do, right? To obey the word. I'd rather have the blessing of God on my life than my way. Are you with me now? Hallelujah. I just never understood it. Why, you know, I know some people can be strong-willed. Neither one of us are very strong-willed. I'm a little strong-willed, but I'm more stubborn than strong-willed. Is that the same thing? I don't know. Google it, somebody. But we've just learned we want to be a blessing to each other. See, I want her to have what she wants. Amen. I want her, you know, where do you want to go? What do you want to do? Well, she does the same thing. That works out pretty good. Hallelujah. This isn't a marriage conference, by the way. And if it was, you know, it would take a long time. Amen. It'd be a seminar. But my point is this. I don't want my prayers hindered. Amen. Now, Luke, let's go there. It's our last scripture tonight. You get something out of this? All right, we're not done yet, but we're getting close. I want to read the scripture in Luke, and then I want to give you those four steps, and then we'll go home. Luke chapter 17. Because God is really big on this forgiveness thing. I mean, He is big on it. It means a whole lot to Him. And He's a forgiver, and He has forgiven us a whole lot. And it's just like that parable in Matthew 18, that servant forgave his, that servant was forgiven a whole lot by his master, and then he wouldn't forgive that little debt. That God frowns on that because He's forgiven us a whole lot. A whole lot. And He still does. And so He expects us to return the favor to others. Amen. Luke 17? All right, verse 1. I'm going to read down to verse 10. Luke 17, then said He unto the disciples, it's impossible, but that offenses will come. In other words, they're not going to be able to stop these things. They're going to come. But woe to him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Now, that just says to me that God's simply saying, if you're one of these people that just go around offending people, you would be better off to tie a millstone. You know what that is? You ever seen a grinding wheel? You know those old grinding wheels? Those things are heavy. If you put one of them on and throw you in the sea, boop, you gone. We've seen you the last day we're going to see you. So this is pretty radical. I mean, think about this. I know this isn't politically correct what I'm about to say, but just think about it. If I'm the pastor of the church, if you were to come to me and you were to say, you know what, I'm just going to let so-and-so have it. I'm just going to let them have it. I'm just going to offend them. I just don't like them. Well, I'm just going to do it, Pastor. What do you got to say about it? I said, no, wait a minute here. And I get in my desk and pull out a handgun. I said, go shoot yourself first. Hear how quiet it got. He said, well, you're not a very good pastor. Well, Jesus just said, go jump in the sea with a millstone about it. Same thing. One's quicker than the other one. Well, all right. I told you I'm politically correct. But did we just read what he said? It's better for you that you just tie a millstone and just jump in the lake. Go jump in the Ohio River. I mean, that means death, right?
Right.
He said, you think some people say it strong today? He said it strong, didn't he? In other words, he's saying that's not a good idea, right?
Right.
All right. I'm just kind of, I'm kidding about the other stuff, right? Okay, but still, that's what he said. It's strong, right?
That's right.
Now, verse 3, take heed to yourselves. If your brother trespasses against you, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. So take heed to yourself. What are you saying? Well, when this happens, don't be concerned about the other person. You watch what happens with you. You guard your own heart. And if he trespasses against you seven times a day turns again to you saying, I repent, you're supposed to forgive him. Now, evidently, the apostles weren't really on board with Jesus' teaching right here. Because the first thing they said is, Lord, the apostles said to him, increase our faith. If you're asking us to forgive, increase our faith. Do y'all see that? I want you to notice what he said, because this is real important as we get ready to close out. This is real important. The Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be plucked up by the root and be planted into the sea, and it should obey you. What's he saying? He said, you don't need more faith to do this. I mean, if you had just a little bit of faith, here's what you could do with a little bit of faith. Notice what he said. He said, verse 7, but which of you having a servant plowing or feeding cattle will say unto him by and by when he's come from the field, go and sit down to meat or to eat, and will not say, rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, gird yourself and serve me until I've eaten and drunken, and afterwards you shall eat and drink. In other words, he's saying, look, if you had a servant, you're not going to tell your servant, no, go ahead and feed yourself and then feed me. No, he said, you're going to tell him, feed me, and then after you feed me, then you can eat. Does he thank that servant because he did the things which were commanded him? I think not. Now notice this. So likewise, when you have done all those things which are commanded you, well, what was commanded them? Well, he just said it up here, forgive. When you've done all those things which are commanded you, say we are unprofitable servants. We've done that which was our duty to do. It's your duty to do it. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know, you know, why the Lord had me preach on this tonight, but I just know He did. I mean, you know, I tried to preach on something else. But this is connected with healing. And so He said, it's your duty. Think about this. Why is it our duty? Well, I mean, no, Jesus is our example, isn't He? On the cross, what did He say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. Stephen was being stoned. What did he say? Don't lay the sin to their charge. You know who was there when he said that? Anybody remember who was there? Apostle Paul was there when he said that. He was a young man. They laid Stephen's clothes down at his feet. He consented to it. He watched them stone Stephen. He watched Stephen say, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. He saw that. Is it any wonder he had some things to say about forgiving in many of his epistles? He told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he's writing to his son Timothy. He said, when I was, and I'm putting some paraphrase on this, but you can read it in 2 Timothy 4, 16 through 18. He says that my first defense is the way the King James says it, or answer, I think the King James says. But what it's talking about, when you've studied out, he's saying, when I was arrested, at my first trial, everybody that was with me, all his traveling companions, forsook him. Isn't that wonderful? Now, that would just be like me getting arrested and Pastor Jerry and Pastor Chuck, boogie, they take off. I don't know the man. How many know that could get inside of you and anger you? See, everybody, Demas forsook him. I don't know who all was with him, whether Timothy, Luke, you know, who all was with him. I don't know. Titus, whoever, who all was with him. But whoever it was, they all forsook him. He said, no man stood with me. They all left. But the Lord stood with me. And He strengthened me. And He delivered me. And He will deliver me. And He will preserve me for His heavenly King. This is a man of faith, man. This is a man that didn't let things hang on. He said this, I pray God that it not be laid to their charge. He let it go. Where'd he get that at? He got it from watching Stephen. Are you with me? It originated with Jesus. Why? It's part of our duty, guys. It's part of what God says this to us. Here's what He's saying. I've forgiven you a whole lot. All I ask is you forgive those offenses that are small compared to what I've forgiven you of. You forgive those. That's your duty. All right, let me close by this. Let me give you four steps to walking in forgiveness. All right? These will help you navigate. It's not always easy. Sometimes people have some pretty serious things done to them by other people. So we're not making light of that, all right? But we're simply saying, you know, listen, you got to learn to let go of it. It doesn't mean you have to be back in relationship with these people. That doesn't mean that at all, but you got to drop the charges according to the Word. Number one, you need to confess the sin of unforgiveness if you need to. If you got unforgiveness in your life, confess it. It's a sin. Get rid of it. Number two, you need to make the decision to forgive from the heart, remembering, this is real important, that you've been forgiven much. That helps me. When I think about how much God has forgiven me, it helps me to let go of other things. Number three, you need to let your words and your actions line up, not remembering that sin against them. Now, that doesn't mean you don't remember the sin. It's just that you don't remember it against them. You don't hold them against them. I wish you could forget it. Maybe God could supernaturally do that, but, you know, I haven't found that to be the case. Amen. Some things that were done to me, I've forgotten about it, but, you know, you still remember some things. But here's the thing. You need to let your words and actions line up. You know, it's funny because people say, well, I forgive him, but I tell you what, I can't stand that. Okay. Your words aren't lining up and your actions aren't lining up. What did Jesus say to do to our enemies? He said, love them, bless them, do good to them, and pray for them. How about trying that? Love, bless, do good to, and pray for. Hallelujah. I'm so glad you're excited about my message. Listen, guys, I don't know. You know, I'm not giving you anything but out of the Bible. I mean, this is a word. You know, this is what the Bible teaches. I don't always like everything either, but got to eat it. It's the word. Amen?
Amen.
Got to live by it. Number four, praise and thank God for your forgiveness and for giving you the ability to forgive the person or persons who have wronged you. So you can thank God. Praise Him and thank Him for giving you the ability. And He will. He'll give you His strength to do that. Amen? So why are we preaching this? Well, it has a lot to do with healing. As a matter of fact, I've seen it over the years. You know, people that were bitter, you know, maybe something happened in the past and they won't let go of it or, you know, something, and they're bitter and they're just tormented all the time because they're actually in the hands of tormentors. They put themselves there through their disobedience to the Word of God. It's certainly not worth it. Amen. It is certainly not worth it. I remember, you know, because a lot of times people, you know, holding something against somebody else, and a lot of times, you know, the people you're holding, they don't even know you got anything against them. I've had people mad at me for years, and I didn't even know it. I ran into a woman one time, and I didn't even know her, and she said, I don't like you. I never have liked you, or something like that. I don't remember exactly what she said. You might remember, but I don't even know you. You mean you've been having an issue with me all this time, and I didn't even know you had an issue with me, because I don't even know who you are. I mean, she probably heard me on the radio, because in those days I was on the radio. She might have heard something she didn't like, or something like that, so now she are you with me now? You know, some people take everything you say just really personal, you know what I'm saying? I mean, maybe they need to. I don't know. Amen. So I've seen that over the years. I've just seen how people have just, you know, they've allowed the devil to get a hold of their lives and wreck their lives simply because they wouldn't let go of something that maybe happened years ago. Amen. We don't want that. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.